You're listening to After the Stork Podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert, Episode 5. This episode is all about the different elements to consider when creating an ideal sleep environment for your little ones. Welcome to the After the Stork Podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert. That's me, creator and host. If you have an infant or toddler, and sleep is a priority for your family, if you want to create healthy sleep habits and a strong and safe sleep foundation for your little one, if you desire a predictable schedule that permits time for things like self-care, date nights, and planned outings, if you need your bed back or want your child sleeping in their own sleep space and desire to follow safe sleep guidelines, if you crave an overall well-rested and thriving family, well, you've come to the right place. As an infant and toddler sleep consultant, I built this podcast to bring you all things infant and toddler sleep and sleep training so that you can have the confidence in making informed decisions that are best for your family when it comes to your child's sleep. Your child is worth it. Your family is worth it. And moms, dads, you are worth it. Now let's dive in. When it comes to sleep, as I mentioned in episode 3 of the podcast, one of the 5 components I look at every time I work with a client is the sleep environment. It is one of the easiest adjustments that you can make in order to increase the amount of quality sleep your child is able to get. Oftentimes, parents will have their children sleeping on the go, in a common area, in a brightly lit room, sometimes even sleeping while holding conversations or listening to TV in the background. While I understand that some of you want your child to have the ability to sleep anywhere, imagine if you were put into that situation. Your child is going to get better quality sleep and sleep for longer durations if there are zero distractions. While this doesn't matter much of those first few weeks due to the nature of sleep, as your child matures, it will begin to matter. Think about it. Your infant or toddler is constantly absorbing their environment, and as they do, they often want to be in on the action. So how can we help them to sleep better? Create the right environment to do so. In this episode, we are going to cover the 5 factors to consider when evaluating and adjusting your child's sleep environment. First and foremost, make sure the sleep environment is safe for your little one. I will include a link in the show notes for the AAP's Safe Sleep Guidelines for Children Under the Age of 1 that involve more than just the sleep environment, but here are some basics to keep in mind. The safest place for your baby to sleep is in their own sleep space without anything in it but a fitted sheet and some pacifiers if using them. Now, to be clear, the AAP does suggest to room share for the first 6 months of a child's life, if not for the full year. Note that this is different than bed sharing. Co-sleeping is a word that encompasses both of those terms. So keep that in mind when creating a safe sleep environment. AKA a safe sleep environment for an infant or toddler is within a bear crib, meaning a fitted sheet and nothing else other than possible pacifiers that your child uses, in their own sleep space. No bumpers, pillows, hammocks, blankets, loveys, mobiles, anything else. Remove blankets that are draping over the crib railings. Trust me, I know this sounds so boring for those of you who were so excited about decorating the nursery. And that meant all these things in and around the crib. But keep in mind, while pretty is appealing, safe is best. So adjust your standards of what a cute nursery looks like. Keep the crib bare, but pretty up the rest of the room. Now, how will you know if a specific sleep space is safe? The sleep space should be one that is made for infant sleep and passes the CPSC standards. In addition, the bed should only consist of whatever the manufacturer provided. No add-ons. The easiest way to figure out if something is safe for infant sleep is to make sure that the sleep space includes one of the following words in the title: crib, play yard, or bassinet, and then double check with the CPSC to make sure there were no recalls. For example, dock-a-tot, crescent womb, rock and play, these are all items that do not contain the words crib, play yard, or bassinet because they are not allowed to do so due to how they are classified. They are not safe for infant sleep without adult supervision the entire time. If an item does not include one of those terms that I mentioned, that means the item does not meet CPSC's standards for an infant bed. So no matter how much a manufacturer or distributor markets a product to be for infant sleep or safe sleep in quotations, do not let them fool you with their advertisement. I've been there before. As a sleep consultant, it can be extremely convincing and can take some digging to find the truth. I'll include a link to a blog post sharing my experience with that. Now for the second element of five to consider when you're looking at your child's sleep environment is consistency. This is something you can start from day one of your baby's life, but if you want to take baby steps, start with a consistent sleep space one nap at a time. Around 6 weeks of adjusted age, provide sleep without motion if not already doing so. By 16 weeks adjusted age, it is beneficial for all sleep to be in a consistent space without motion due to the development of the child's circadian rhythm. This is when people often experience or mention the dreaded 4-month sleep regression. But in fact, this is actually a sleep leap. Your infant's circadian rhythm is developing, and sleep cycles are becoming more organized. If you start working on sleep prior to this time, you will have an easier time getting through this milestone. So if your child is approaching or is older than 4 months of age, time to implement a consistent sleep space for naps and bedtime, always or as often as possible, if not already doing so. I know, again, that some of you really want to be able to just go out and have your child sleeping throughout the day. This having a consistent sleep space is not always ideal. However, what I've heard from my clients is that once they've started offering a consistent sleep space, once they get their child onto an appropriate age schedule, it's often easier than they expected. They think, oh wow, now I can actually plan things because I know when my child's going to be ready to go out. Or I'm actually able to go out and enjoy my time because my child isn't a hot mess. So keep that in mind when I'm making these recommendations for how to create a sleep environment or in future episodes. Having a well-rested child will make the rest of your life so much better. And the changes that might seem daunting at first end up becoming second nature once they are your new norm. Okay, on to number 3 of 5. The third factor to consider with the sleep environment is temperature. One of our circadian rhythms is the fluctuation of body temperature. When we sleep, our core body temperature drops. Therefore, it is ideal for a sleep environment to be 65 degrees, which I know sounds crazy low, but if you can, aim for somewhere between 65 and 70 degrees. First, this is important to prevent your child from overheating to reduce the risk of SIDS if your child is under the age of 1. Second, keeping it cool will make it easier for your child to fall asleep and connect sleep cycles, helping to reduce frequent wakings. It is better for your child to be a little chilly rather than too hot, so be cautious of overdressing your baby for sleep and make sure that the material of their pajamas and swaddle or sleep sack are breathable. Now, number 4 of 5. 4, light, or really the lack thereof. You want the room to be as dark as possible, pitch black. This will provide an easier onset of sleep and it will help to lengthen that sleep. Think longer naps, sleeping in later in the mornings rather than prior to 6 a.m. I mean, no light at all getting in, even through the edges of the curtains. You might need to get creative here. Blackout curtains often work really well, but sometimes they don't completely do the job. Some suggestions are to double up on the curtains, tape down the edges of the curtains with painter's tape so that you don't ruin your walls, put a blanket or a towel on the top of the curtains if light is getting through the top. Need a quick or cheap option? Just use black trash bags or kangaroo blankets and use painter's tape to tape them to your windows and walls. And last but not least, sound or lack thereof. Create a space that is quiet with as little disruptions as possible. If you fall into the category of a parent who wants the child to be able to sleep anywhere, here is something to consider. It is way better to have quality sleep most of the time and a difficult time sleeping some of the time rather than low quality sleep most of the time. Having your child sleeping anywhere will most likely result in poor sleep quality. So again, it really does help to have these five factors in place for your child's sleep environment in order to create quality sleep and to lengthen that sleep. Especially those last two factors, dark and quiet, these are especially important for naps and early in the morning with bedtime. Naps because sleep pressure depletes more quickly with the nap. So if your child wakes and the nap is short, it is much more difficult for them to fall back asleep if there is any light or noise distracting them. Early mornings, because of the architecture of sleep cycles. When we sleep, we start the night with our sleep cycles consisting mostly of deep sleep. But the closer that we get to the morning, the sleep cycles start to consist more of REM sleep, which is that lighter phase of sleep when we can hear what's going on in the outside world. It is normal that people in general wake throughout the night and closer to the morning. But if there is noise or light getting in, it will be more difficult for your child to fall back asleep to finish out the night, aka resulting in more fragmented sleep and those early risings. So there you have it. The five factors to evaluate for your child's sleep space: safe, consistent, cool, dark, quiet. I've got a sleep environment checklist waiting for you in the show notes. In it, I dive into these five areas to help you evaluate your child's sleep environment. Also, a little bonus are some tips with setting up a sound machine if you are using one. Learn how to achieve quality sleep because your child is worth it, your family is worth it, and moms, dads, you are worth it. Thanks for tuning in to the After the Stork podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. By doing all of those things, you can help me to reach more families in need of guidance with their little ones' sleep. And if you don't already, follow me on Facebook and Instagram using the handle afterthestork.megan. That's afterthestork.megan. And if you desire support with your little one's sleep journey, you can reach out to me directly on either one of those platforms. I hope to see you there.